Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello again, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. What we do take seriously is making sure we cover off every single bit of rugby action that there is, which is why we are back for another podcast. This is the domestic, the midweek domestic podcast, MWDP.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's JB and there's Phil.
Hello, Timothy.
Hello, Tim.
Now, Tim.
Still no baby, Phil.
Still no baby.
Hang on.
Another day, another no baby.
Do you think that's the real news? In our last podcast, you said you were going to delete Twitter and you said you'd have it done by the next one. Don't do it.
I will be doing it.
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
Cord cutter.
No, do you know what I've decided to do? I'm going to go off Twitter in the week and then when it's rugby time at the weekend, I'm going to put it back on my
phone.
That's
the worst way to do it.
Why? Well,
because that's when you get most irate.
Anyway, Yeah, fine.
Doesn't matter. Let's talk about some domestic rugby.
Yes, let's do that. So on this podcast, we'll talk about the Premiership games coming up this weekend. And we're also going to have a little deep dive into the salary cap. And also, I think we were just chatting about this before we were podcasting. We were just having a natter about lower league rugby. And Phil and I were curious about what the average amateur rugby player is like these days, because we've not actually played. For a few years now.
Yeah. Well, I am still playing. And it strikes me they're getting, I don't know, it's a mix. They seem to be getting stronger. So I was at Tilsley Rugby Club not so long ago, and Tilsley Rugby Club put out a team which you would imagine looked a lot like a team which Tilsley would put out. Big, tough, hard units. They certainly beat me up a bit. But their second team was also playing against Lee's second team. Now, you know, second team rugby isn't a tremendous standard, no matter where you are. But when we were outside the changing rooms waiting to get in, and they all had their tops off, and they literally look like they do nothing but go to the gym. Now, whether I'm just getting old now, but yeah, the lads seem a lot stronger, even if they're not necessarily better.
So there is more of a gym culture, certainly, than 20 years ago.
Agreed. When
young people are young adults and are generally not drinking as much by quite a lot, apparently.
Yeah,
there's the whole Instagram thing. It's all and the whole Tinder thing and all that jazz. It's all about how you look, innit.
It is amazing to think that people are drinking less because it's so much fun. Yeah. Also, what's the point in working out so hard if you can't go out drinking?
Yeah, why are you working out so hard if not to burn off all the indulgent calories from the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the whole point? I wonder if that's from. I actually don't know the answer to this. Are numbers in rugby clubs dropping? What's the? I know, but so participation on the whole has gone up. But that's largely to do with lots of people who have never played before playing the game, mostly in the women's game.
So or playing like touch, those kind of initiatives, rather than playing.
Mixed rugby is a new one, which I don't know how I feel. Mixed ability rugby, yeah, fine. If you want to do it, fine. Touch, no time for that.
Touch is a very skillful game.
Oh, so is volleyball.
do you hate volleyball?
Well, I wouldn't choose to play it. Look, if I was a volleyball player, I would act like a volleyball player. Here's where I have the problem, right? It's when you play touch rugby, but you behave like you've played rugby. You're not allowed to do that because you've not been what we've been through as a team.
I do.
Stolen valour.
I get that.
There is stolen valour in. The one time when I've done touch properly, I was working at an O2 touch event. I've done a couple of hosting things and stuff, and I sort of mucked in and played, and there was this team I was playing against. I was like, oh, I wanted to just smash
them. Oh, they're so annoying, aren't they?
Because they run at you, and they touch you with the ball.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, I'm going to be touching you.
Yeah.
They take a voluntary touch, and they touch you with the ball.
Oh, I hate it so much. Like, I hate it.
That made me want to just step in with a shoulder.
If you watch, someone sent me a link to New Zealand versus Australia playing touch. It was amazing to watch. Doesn't matter, it's not rugby. It just doesn't matter. Like, you're utilising, like, a quarter of the skills. So, no time for that whatsoever. Mixed ability is different because, well, yeah, go on, give it a go. Why not? And women's rugby, I'm all for that.
If you're picking up a rugby ball and enjoying yourself, that and it means you might want to go along to
your local club. No, because you could be playing touch. You could be playing touch, and that's not, it's not good.
No, I hear what you're saying. I say it's all good with me, but yes, I agree. Different sports, but so generally players are more jacked.
Oh yeah, jacked. I mean,
but is it functional strength? Because like, are they just doing like beach weights rather than? Like, you know,
there's definitely some of that. There's definitely a lot more CrossFit-y type guys. And as yeah, let's not beat around the bush. There's definitely some recreational use of substances which you couldn't use if you were a professional. 100%. Because some of the boys that you look at now, they're just so, I mean, look, I'm not a weak man by any stretch, and I'm currently 112 kgs. I'd be the third lightest guy in the French, no, the third least heavy guy in the French pack. This weekend, but you definitely feel that they are getting. For the record, I'm one of the smallest in the TOC H pack. That's how big TOC H are.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, didn't mean to do that last bit either.
Quite all right. So, some news that's been breaking over the last week. There's been a few signings been announced or rumoured. Sean O'Brien, 400k is the rumoured amount to London Irish on a 3-year deal.
So just stop on that? That is a rumour. Right now, isn't it?
So we should just stop on that one and talk about that in isolation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rubbish bit of business.
Not for Sean O'Brien.
Oh, no, sorry, I completely forgot that bit. For Sean O'Brien, fair play, go and, you know, get as much as you can. It is a bad bit of business. I don't think he'll play nearly as many games as Irish will need him to play. I think Irish are overpaying. They could probably get three lads for the price that they're paying Sean O'Brien, which will probably be more valuable. Spread the talent across the team. I do not like it one bit. It's also very good for the IRFU because they're going to be saving whatever they're paying Sean O'Brien, and he should be paid like a top international because he is. But that's a different system. Now they're going to go and develop some more talent. It's like kind of, you know, preening your rosebush.
Yeah, and it's English salary cap money being spent on Irish assets which have already got squeezed all the value that they want out of that asset.
There's no more value in Sean O'Brien.
And so effectively there's 400 grand that they're piling into the next Dan Levy or Josh Van Der Fleer or
yeah, Jordy Murphy or yeah,
one of the army of Irish talented sevens.
Exactly. So they're taking that 400k and they're converting that into young Leinstermen, and it's signings like that, which I understand, but in terms of the England team, I hate.
Mm. Like, do you know, I would pay that money. If I was Irish, I'd pay it for Peter O'Mahony. I think that would work for London Irish, because I do believe, actually, he would make a big difference. Leader would play more games. I think he's more durable.
He's more robust.
You
know, more
there likely. Are guys you can do that with. I don't think Sean O'Brien is that guy, though.
And O'Mahony's certainly a couple of years, 2 or 3 years younger than.
Is he?
I think.
Yes, Peter.
Well, I mean, even 2 or 3 years older, I still think Peter O'Mahony for 2 years. I think he would have the same effect, probably better than Declan O'Callaghan. Declan O'Callaghan, is that right?
Donica
O'Callaghan. Thank you very much, dude. At Worcester,
2.5 years age difference. Yeah, Sean O'Brien turns 32 next week on Valentine's Day.
And fair play to Donica O'Callaghan. He came over and he played his heart out for Worcester while he was there. I hope Sean O'Brien would do the same. I think he probably would do.
He would do. So Sean O'Brien, Sean O'Brien, this for me is rolling the dice and hoping you get a six, because I think that's roughly the chance of getting the value out of Sean O'Brien. If he plays 20 plus games per season for you for the next few years, he will always play 100%. I don't think Sean O'Brien can do anything less than that.
No.
So if you can get 20 plus league games out of him, I think that is worth it. The reason why I say you're rolling a dice, I think it's a 1 in 6 chance that you will get that number of games out of him.
If you could choose then, if you were, let's say you could back up and you were Bristol and London Irish and you could say you can have Nathan Hughes or Sean O'Brien.
God, I'd have neither of them.
I'd have Nathan Hughes.
But
the
Sean O'Brien one's similar to the Stephen Lua-Tua for Bristol. That guy, again, the durability.
Yeah, that's who I'd get. I'd go overseas they have gone overseas to Ireland, I guess, and gets one younger and more durable.
Even though Stephen Lurtua looks much older than Sean O'Brien.
Yeah, true.
He's
he
had
does.
A tough paper round.
He does.
What is he, 26, 25?
He's that kind of age. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mind you, Glasgow got a guy called Brian, Big Brian.
Brian Alanoisa.
Yeah, he's like 22.
He's at Toulon now, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
The Glasgow number eight or back row player. Yeah, and he
back row, second row.
He's got like grey hair.
Yeah, I met grey beard. He is bloody and just an enormous man. And then my good friend Jack was like, "Yeah, he's 21 or 22." I was like, "Not a chance."
So there you go, Sean O'Brien.
Another rumoured signing is Campagnaro going to Quins. He's on a short term deal at Wasps at the minute.
Doesn't matter where he goes, I think he's a cracking player.
He is a great player.
So, yep, good.
Yeah,
it feels like in the Premiership, unless he went to somewhere like Worcester or maybe London Irish, one of those type of teams, he will always be a kind of utility periphery player, a bit like he was at Exeter. He never really cemented.
It's like a bit of a specialist, using for a certain role.
Well, I'm more thinking he can so he can cover wing, he can cover 12 and 13. So he's not going to be first choice in any one of those positions if everyone's fit, but he is going to play a lot of rugby because he can cover so many different positions and play really well in all of them.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout.
So I think he's a useful player to have.
Yeah, good signing if Quince can land him.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, the worst kept secret in rugby is Elliot Daly going to Saracens.
What? When?
Which was confirmed this week.
That is, they must have had some big space in their salary cap.
I mean, do you know the one thing that's great is that romance between Elliot Daly and Jamie George is going to be rekindled on
their coffee shop.
It's almost like they knew, isn't it?
Yeah, what was it? What was the name of the coffee shop? Oh, I can't remember.
Daly.
Daly and Jinxie.
Yeah, is George Allen Jinxie or something like or Jinx Allen Daly.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good signing, isn't it? Where's he going to play?
It's a bloody brilliant signing.
But where's he going to play?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Everyone fit. Right, everyone fit.
He plays 13.
Who's your back? You've got Ben Spencer, 9.
Or Wiggy. Pick either.
Owen Farrell, fly half. Centres.
Brad Barrett
and...
Probably Brad Barrett and Daly.
I'd probably go Daly, 13.
I'd go Lazowski.
And then back three of Williams, Good, Maitland.
Maitland or Lewington.
Good and Elliot for me.
God, you got Nick Tompkins on the bench.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick Lazowski, Wigglesworth, and Lewington on the bench, and Nick Tompkins in the stand watching.
Yeah.
Playing for the Storm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're.
God, they must be managing that cap well.
Well, how much is he going to be on? That's the first question. What do you reckon the going rate is for a Saracens?
If he went to France, more than 500k. Probably
if he went to France.
If he went to France,
he couldn't play for England.
True.
And playing for England over the next year with a World Cup, 7 games in the World Cup. Let's assume he plays all the games, 2 warm-up games, 9 games, let's say, and 5 games in the season.
Average of 10 games per season.
Yeah, let's say he plays 10 games per season.
£250,000.
That's £250,000 before the sponsorship that comes with it.
Yeah.
So I reckon you could be upwards of £300,000 to £400,000 this year in 2019 for being an England international.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So I don't think he's anywhere near £500,000 for Saracens.
Oh, I completely agree. There's sort of the Bristol factor, isn't there? So Pietel's on God knows what.
£1 million.
Yeah, so...
Whatever it is.
If he goes to... He's unusual, because it's one of the few moves he can make where he's not going to be the best player in the side. So if he goes to Newcastle, or if he goes to... or Leicester Tigers, or someone like that. Not to disparage your side, and actually, speaking a bit out of turn there, he wouldn't be the best player. Maybe one of them. Well, at Saracens, he's kind of a squad guy. You know, so that does put it in a different perspective, and therefore I don't think he's going to be on nearly as much as he could demand.
Yeah, so part of it, if you look at Instagram, and I just happen to follow Elliot Daly's wife,
and, do you?
Mrs. and Jamie George's Mrs. as well. They no, you see the odd. I don't follow them actually, but I've noticed before they hang out a lot. The two of them, the wives, Jamie George and Elliot Daly's Mrs.'s, mm-hmm. are Bezzies.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I'm sure that's got a part to play with it. Just the general.
And those two are best mates, it seems, from the Lions
Elliot
video
Daly
to
and Jamie George are best mates.
The England videos.
Also, you can't underestimate the factor of... I mean, you must go to England camp and hear the Saracens boys talking about Saracens. And everyone you hear, and I spent Friday night with Alex Good.
Ooh, how was that? Did you get his number for me?
It's great. Oh, sorry, I'm terrible at networking. I had a good chat with him, but the way he talks about it is... It's just like, we love spending time with each other. Like, they've had a week off. And how many clubs in England would... I said, oh, what did you do last week? Oh, I went away with a couple of mates and so-and-so. And, oh, there's a bunch of boys went to Cape Town.
And all
the players went together with their girlfriends and wives, and they went away together on their week off.
Yeah.
It's a rare thing that Saracens have got.
Flats talks about that quite a lot. In fact, I'm sure I heard him talk about it. It's like small things, like they've got a crash for match days and, you know, just weird little things which you don't necessarily, as a member of the public, appreciate what matters to players.
What matters to players' wives, which is even more important.
Yeah, the money, let's just go back to the money.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised actually if he had to take a pay cut to go from Wasps to Saracens.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as big a jump as everyone thinks because it's Saracens.
Apparently Jack Singleton, who's also going there, is going for a pay cut.
That would really surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because for Elliot Daly, for Jack, I agree, it's a bit different. So with the Elliot Daly one, he is an established England international. And what price being fresh and at your best and ready? And he knows, look at that squad, I'm not going to get absolutely rinsed and asked to patch up and play every game.
That's another good point, actually.
Yeah.
So there's that. And also, he's going to play in the biggest games and potentially win tournaments.
Well, yeah.
It's massive.
I was thinking that when the England camp meet up and Jamie George and Maro Itoje are counting their Heineken Cup medals, their Premiership medals, counting that stuff, and Elliot Daly is like playing with some paper clips.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Just answer this onto that point, right? Who is the most undervalued player in world sport? Team player in world sport?
As in, compared to what they actually get paid?
Compared to what they're worth.
Tom Brady.
He's something like the 20th, on the list of quarterbacks. Has been so for the past five or six years, because I guess he works out his value post-playing is going to be massively enhanced by the fact he's won more Super Bowls than any man alive. I'm not saying that that this is a calculation that Elliot Daly's made, but you know that it could play into it. And also, if you're going to do after dinner speaking and whatnot, and being a celebrity or not a celebrity, but just be on that circuit, you're going to want some Heineken Cup medals. You're going to want to be in the England team constantly. Saracens is the best place to do it. I actually don't think it's.
Also, he's going to be handsomely paid wherever he goes, and as long as he stays fit, he will have earned a good crust from playing rugby. Whatever happens, touchwood, he stays fit. So when you get into that kind of margins, 50 grand here or even 100 grand there versus the memories and the happiness.
And the medals.
And the medals, yeah. Well, the memories, the happiness.
Didn't Billy Vunipola say he'd happily take a pay cut to play less games?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's actually some truth in that, which is they are all going to take a pay cut. They didn't expect it to be like this, but the rich are going to get richer by it. If you've got a good squad of players, you're going to attract more good players because they're not going to play as much, if that's what matters. And maybe to England guys it does.
What do you think, 20 years from now, what do you think Benny Teo is going to sit back and talk about his career? Oh, God, those times at Worcester, special times. I made friends for life at Worcester, had some incredible memories.
I don't think he knows a single person in Worcester. That's a fascinating question. What will he say? He's going to obviously talk about the Lions.
He'll talk about the Lions. He'll talk about England. Of course.
He'll talk about the Rabbit Tools. Hanging out with Rusty Crowe and Big Sam.
Rusty Crowe.
Who's winning the NRL Grand Final?
But despite all that, I think I'd still rather have Tio's career. You convinced me now. Elliot Daly's wrong to do what he's done. He is absolutely wrong to have done what he's done. I'd rather have Ben Teo's career 9 times out of 10 than Elliot Daly's. Yeah, I've gone on a Lions tour.
So is Elliot Daly.
Yeah, I played in one of the coolest rugby league teams ever.
Yeah,
for literally a film star. I've played in Dublin. And then someone paid me a stupid amount of money to never play rugby, and I still make the England team.
28 minutes a season.
28 minutes. What is he? Go and play at Worcester.
Is he fit? He's not, is he?
No.
He's fit enough for England.
Is he going to be back and playing? Because I'm thinking fantasy rugby draft here. Oh, we get to think about that. It's been a long month.
Ooh.
I know.
Have you seen the format? The layout has changed.
Only on the mobile version.
Yeah. Hold that thought. So, anyway, salary cap. There were some thoughts that Saracens had broken, well, could break the salary cap potentially with this, or they're managing it very, very well. If they have broken the salary cap, I can't tell you how disappointed I would be.
Wasn't there one club? Was there someone saying that one Quinns admitted they went over? Yeah, because there's things like agents' fees go into it, and Wasps got caught out last year. And
they got stung with VAT. Get
it? Part of it was, an agent went from being based abroad to being based in the UK, and suddenly they had to pay more VAT or whatever, and they put them over.
Yeah, so we've had a few queries on Twitter, like, how would you get around the salary cap? What can you do? So I think it's probably worth just including, what is it that you can put into a salary cap?
Yeah, come on. We've got a financial advisor in one seat in front of me and a quantity surveyor, statistician, mathematician, and the other.
I am a QS by trade. I'm not sure I can... Well, hold my hands up and honestly say I'm either of those other things.
You can look at you can look at lists and spreadsheets and decipher them and explain them in a way that we might understand. So what is in a salary cap?
Basically, it's anything paid by the club or any party connected to the club.
Oh, this is important.
Right? To any player or any party connected to the player. There is a much more well-rounded definition of that, but broadly it's that. That includes... I'll list a few of the big ones. So, obviously, salary, wages, fee, remuneration, bonuses, which include match, win, year-end, cups, national insurance, any loans that the club pays, any child support, maintenance or school fees, any accommodation or holiday costs, any pension, any image rights, which we'll come on to in a little bit with JB, any payment in connection with promotional media work or endorsement, payment for off-field activities for or on behalf of the club, any signing on fee transfer payment in the case of Johnny May when he went to Leicester.
Whoa. Oh, yes, that's right. So,
because that was the last one of the old rules of transfer payments.
Yes.
Any relocation allowance. Any accommodation, holidays, cars, match tickets other than four, clothing...
Is that right? So if you have more than... That's clever.
Yeah. Clothing other than standard training or club kit, travel, membership fees, food and drink other than matches and training, payment in kind to a player, any redundancy, any agent's fees, plus VAT and national insurance... And any third party connected party payment.
Okay.
And the payment can come in, you're just talking about cash, or could theoretically someone go, there's a ring?
That would be payment in kind?
Payment in kind, if they pay for your house, fall under accommodation, so it would be included in that. Cars would be included in that.
So you can't pay them in like diamonds from South Africa. Okay, cool.
Diamonds would be something I would consider if I was a club owner, because they'd be completely untraceable. I mean, land is a terrible one. So let's just talk about some of the things that they can't do. Well,
So instantly thought to my mind, you hear these sort of rumours and, excuse the pun, old wives' tales of someone's wife getting a job as a receptionist in the club on 200 grand.
Yes. So I think that will still happen, not at that level, but it says no connected parties, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's quite, it's got to be at arm's length. So you couldn't have your wife working on reception for 200k.
What about a Saracen's wife working at Allianz?
Well, okay.
Presumably that couldn't happen either.
Under these rules, I think that couldn't happen.
Well, it can happen, actually. But it would you'd have to demonstrate a fair market price.
And that was merit.
Yeah.
And merit,
so like, I can't sell my house to my dad, right, at below market value in order to avoid capital gains tax or something. And that's all they'll do. If they do employ a spouse, and I'm sure a lot of them do, for good reason, it will be at a market value. As long as they can demonstrate that,
yes,
there will be no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, that is fair.
That's fair.
The other thing that we were tweeted is, what about things like pension contributions? Well,
that's in.
All covered.
Yeah.
And there's a limit to it anyway. So actually, you could put the maximum amount into a pension every year for a player, but you'd only 40K. Really be... Yeah, you'd only really be like playing around the edges. You know, that is, you know, that's
yeah. I would have thought all these players should, because of how short their career is, they should be maximising their pension contributions anyway.
They should be doing it anyway, but the maximum you can put in, excluding all the complex stuff, but the maximum you can put in is about £40,000 per year. So every player should be doing that.
So on the basis of what Phil said and what you've just followed that up with, that means that no unscrupulous business can really go on, and anything that the player receives in whatever form from anything connected to the club directly or indirectly is covered in comes under the salary cap. So it appears like there's very little wiggle room.
Yeah. Now,
so there is some wiggle room.
Mm. So I'm going to clear out bonuses, because I actually don't think all the bonuses do count. I think if you win the Premiership, like, there are other bonuses like that, or European Cup. I think there are some bonuses excluded from the salary cap. So in the Saracens situation, and I need clarification on this, but that could be very valuable. So because they've got a good chance of winning the Heineken Cup, for instance, it might be a good bet to say, look, I'll go there for £200,000 a year. However, if we win the Heineken Cup, give me an extra £300,000 or whatever it may be. You know, that would make sense. And also, weirdly, it'd make the stronger even stronger, because there's then an incentive to join a really good team.
So I'm quickly flicking through a 57-page document, and there is a bonus that is excluded, or a type of bonus that is excluded from the cap, but it is any payments paid or payable by an international union, including match fees, international win, or competition bonus.
Oh, there you go. So it's quite explicit. You can't even do that then.
Yeah, bonuses, and it does state match win, year end, etc., that are payable to the player by the club would be included.
So
in
any club that is operating unscrupulously outside of that is not doing so out of ignorance. They're doing so extremely cleverly, and almost to the point I'm saying it's unlikely to be happening.
Well, so here's where we come into the history of this. So it was only a couple of years ago that this whole process was made transparent. So prior to that, I don't even think the union, I don't think the RPA, I don't think the Premier Rugby, I don't think anyone really knew. It was almost like a gentleman's agreement. Here are the rules. You're abiding by that, Saracens, yep. Harlequins. Yes, of course, sir. Now, it does seem to all be completely transparent and above board, and clubs are getting fined like Wasps and Harlequins.
Yeah, so the way they do it is, as I understand it, they all look at each other's books. So you inspect my books, I inspect yours books, and Phil inspects his own books, because he's obviously the one who'd be fraudulent. The punishment is then a tax. I believe the tax is half the amount that you overspent?
It depends on
how much you go over.
The more you go over,
the bigger the percentage.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's how they deal with it. Very interesting thing about image rights, because obviously there are image rights payments, and I still don't really understand this. But as it goes, if you are advertising your club, okay, or you're in a club top, you have to be... Let me see if I can get the right form of wording here. You have to include three players of equal prominence on any kind of material. So for egg chasers, that's easy. It'd be all three of us, yeah. Right? But that just stops, for instance, Saracens getting one superstar, or, you know, Worcester buying Mako Vinopola, only to throw him onto every advert that they can. They've got to do him plus two others on every other advert.
And that's interesting. When you see, like, flyers for matches... You do see three players on
always
on
three more. Players.
Yeah.
Because if it's less than three, you'd need that would potentially fall foul of the image rights payments.
Yeah. So if it's less than three, I think it contravenes the RPA agreement. And if it's sort of umming and ahhing about it, you've got to get the RPA to sign it off. However, players can then go and do their own stuff. but they're not allowed to wear their club shirt. So think about Marutoji doing Vitality. He's not doing it in a Saracens shirt, which I think is quite interesting, actually, because I actually think if Marutoji was allowed to wear his Saracens shirt, or his England shirt, more to the point, he would be worth even more. So you can now start to see there's a little bit of a relationship between how powerful the brand is and how powerful the player is.
Right.
Yeah. So...
because Marutoji's got an Adidas deal, a Vitality deal.
He's got supplement deals.
Supplement deals.
He is one of the most marketable rugby players. One of the most marketable sports people in England.
Where are our little kind of grey areas? It's not huge amounts, but it is... okay, so there's actually a few things. The standard of club car... can vary drastically. So can club accommodation. So cars actually are not that bad to really deal with because there's really clear HMRC laws as to what each car is worth.
Yeah, benefit in kind tax on cars
is nailed down. Yeah. I imagine that there's a little bit more wiggle room in...
sorry, is Francois Huhar's Lambo a...
he's got a Lambo?
I wish to get
he does that. Have a Lambo.
He had it parked at the ground on Friday night.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he's always doing Instagram videos.
Yeah, so Sale Sharks, right, have got a Manchester Bentley as a sponsor, which is cool, but yet utterly pointless and a little bit stupid. Because although everyone appreciates Bentleys, the fact is they've got two of these Bentleys parked outside and they're so expensive, no one dare touch them. Whereas like if it was, you know, I'm trying to think, something more like a Ford Focus, people would go inside them. You know, but you do not want to touch the Bentleys for love nor money.
Not with your sticky hands.
No, don't touch a Bentley! yes.
So I've had a look at this and I think there's one or two areas that I would look at if I were trying to exploit it. But where would you go? Where have you?
Well, the first thing I think I would do is I would use the club's network of sponsors and actually then have individual sponsors. So this is a little bit dodgy because it does say no third parties.
Yeah.
No one connected to the club. But there again, I mean, if I am... I don't know how this works, really. If I am a very wealthy local businessman and I want to help out my local club, if I was Leicester Tigers, say, right? Am I better off saying...
If you work at Next, or if you were CEO of Next.
Yeah.
Am I better off with a wink and a nod saying, I'm not going to sponsor the club this year, but who do you fancy being a marquee player? Well, we'll bring them in. Because I don't see why that's illegal.
Well, so the marquee player is... irrelevant anyway because it's outside of all this.
And there's two of those now.
Yes, sorry, you're right.
Payment that the player would not have received were it not for his involvement with the club is included in the cap.
But what if I'm just a fan?
But you would have to have it would have to be a completely separate deal. So if Next are sponsoring Leicester Tigers, they also cannot sponsor Manu Tuilagi unless it's included in the cap.
Yeah.
So you'd have to not sponsor
and you'd have to have a completely separate deal.
Could Manu Tuilagi go to JCB to do a talk to their JCB drivers about how he loves being destructive to try and motivate them for knocking down the building that they're going to knock down on this new big project, and he's there purely in his capacity as Manu Tuilagi in a polo shirt without a Leicester Tigers
one. What about just Manu Tuilagi giving a lecture to the senior business leaders about how hard to train or something like that?
Could he do that off his own back with someone who just with Caterpillar?
I think if it was a company that does not sponsor Leicester Tigers, fine. And if they want to pay him an appearance fee of £5,000, it'd be the same as him doing like talk H after dinner speaking.
Yeah,
that wouldn't count towards his salary cap. If it was a company that sponsors Leicester as well, then I think it should be counted.
Here's a loophole. What if the CEO of Caterpillar also has another business where he's developing drones?
Whatever it is.
Could you get Manu Tuilagi to go and talk to them?
I agree with you because... I would say yes, they probably could. I mean, it would look very, very shady. And also, you know, they might get in a situation where you know, Leicester Tigers identify they want a guy a year early and to be super squeaky clean, they enter into some sort of image rights deal with that player the year before, so it looks even more legitimate when he comes over. Well, I already have that have this sponsor, but I think they get rumbled fairly.
Yeah,
quickly.
You get rumbled. That's what I'm coming to terms with.
And the other part about this is, you know, you sponsor your local sports team not because you're a dodgy bunch of crooks, but because 100%. You want to be involved with the local area. So what does that say about you? Yeah. Going out and contravening the salary cap rules? So there's not much in there. Now, there is one other area which I find really interesting.
Go on.
Players' businesses.
Okay.
So
this is the point I made on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, this is the one where I think there is loads of room. If I have a rugby club, I would be encouraging all my players to start up a business if they wanted to. Because as a rugby club, I look at Sale Sharks. When you're at Sale Sharks, there is a room full of relatively high-powered people, all in the local business community, all very accessible, and all want to help you. So Saracens do this really successfully. All their lads are in some form of business, whether it be Wolfpack Lager or...
George Cruz has just launched his CBD oil. CBD. Jamie George has just launched a physio practice that came up in a game of rugby social the other week.
Yep.
They are more active than any other club in this area.
Yeah, and this to me serves two purposes. So one, it allows you to leverage the network that the club has basically built for you. And I think that is completely legitimate and completely innocent. And Saracens, I mean, where they are located geographically is brilliant. There's a load of wealth around there, fine. There is some speculation that maybe the club lends them money for this sort of thing, but that would be covered off by a salary cap.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter.
The loan would be, but giving them free advertising in the ground.
Yeah.
Free business advice from their execs.
Yeah.
Well, look at like the Jolly Hog. I mean, I don't know what exactly help they had from Harlequins, but they should get help because we're all a bit of a rugby
James
family.
Simpson, Daniel's Biltong with Gloucester.
Yeah, yeah, there's loads.
Dave Seymour's coffee at Sale.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a truck at the ground, you know. So, you know, these are the areas. Now, there's a second, far more important point to this, right? And I think it goes beyond salary cap. But we're in an age now where, if you're not talking about player welfare, it's because you want all players dead, I think. Is that?
That's what the expert said.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you're an expert. Because all the experts in welfare, who, by the way, have no clue about welfare, they never talk about this. And actually, it's one of the most important things. That, like, what is a player going to do after they finish...
Coffee with the boys.
With the rugby. Yeah, coffee
like,
with the boys.
Like that's what you do during when you're not playing rugby. You just do coffee with the boys, right?
Exactly. So I think this is far more important, which is it's preparing the players... For their life after rugby, which is going to come as one hell of a shock.
And coming all the way back to Saracens, if you're pitching for someone's signature and you sit down with Elliot Daly and go, right, we've got an amazing squad. You're going to maybe win. You're going to have a very good chance of winning some tournaments, win some medals. You're going to make some amazing memories in the process. We're going to send you off and to do some incredible experiences and have some knees ups and team building weekends and all of that you hear about. You're going to go and jump out of a plane and get on the piss or whatever. And what is more, we're going to set you up for whatever comes after your career.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's like, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Well, we're going to find what you want to do and then we're going to expand on that.
Well, because just on that exact point, the other thing or another thing that could be exploited or maximised for the benefit of the player that is excluded from the salary cap is any educational fees.
Yep.
So if you want to do a university course, if you want to do a bricklaying joinery course, whatever it is, if you want to do a pottery course,
I wonder.
The club can pay, you can benefit from that.
So Northampton have got 12 lads currently. I think 12, I might have made that, maybe 7. But definitely Tom Wood and definitely...
Tamana Harrison.
Tamana Harrison, the fullback, what's his name?
RC Tuala.
RC Tuala. On a welding course.
Yeah.
I wonder if Northampton are paying for that.
Yeah, they should.
Oh, is it just Tom Wood just wanting to do Tom Wood things?
Well, no, they'd be exploiting.
I'm disappointed.
They'd be maximising the opportunity because the club should be
paying for that. There's not more cobbling going on.
Yeah. Well, I did speak to Tom Wood about that actually. I think that's where I'd maximise my value because rugby clubs are just a hotbed of networking opportunities.
So
you couldn't get a better network.
So listening to that, that's all right. So listening to that, where I've come to is that. The jokes that we all have in rugby clubs about salary caps and how do they afford it, actually, we might have to get back in our box a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
It kind of seems legit.
But tell you what, we're going to look like idiots when we find out that Saracens...
The lid gets blown off Saracens. Yeah.
Two million quid of farmland? What? A safari ranch?
And diamonds. Diamonds all along.
You've got how many Rolex watches?
Yeah. Why is one of Owen Farrell's arms so much bigger than the other one? Because he's wearing a metric ton of Rolex watches on his right arm.
That was good. Where did you get all that information from, by the way?
It is just on the Premiership website.
It's all
Google Premiership Rugby salary cap. There's a very brief explanation, a one page, and then you can download the full document, the full 57-page report.
Don't bother with the 57 pages because it reads like a legal contract. It's horrible.
It does.
It is a legal contract. Well,
what you've got to do with it, so read the summary pages, and then if you want to dig deeper on any one of those things, like, oh, right, legitimate expenses are excluded. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then you realise, well, it doesn't mean any food, it doesn't mean accommodation, it doesn't mean travel. So it is pretty limited.
Yeah. And by the way, food during the day for Helani Alika was quite often in the region of 5,000 calories on a heavy training day for him. God, that's a lot of food.
Ah, easy.
5,000 calories, do you reckon? What's that, like two Domino's pizzas, basically?
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't it?
Easy.
Just give him two Domino's pizzas.
Yeah.
That was an unusual little tangent, but I think a good one.
Yeah. I think it is important. I think we've done a couple of years where a couple of teams have been fined for this since going into the transparent position. Time will tell. I am generally a kind of glass half full type of person. I'm optimistic that people are generally above board.
I think they've accepted
this kind of stuff.
They've accepted it, haven't they?
Yeah. And I think if the rug was pulled, if we were to peer behind the curtain 5 years ago, it might not be such a...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nice place to look. Yeah.
And what I want to see now is clever use of the salary cap. So, you know, almost very money-ball-y. But, you know, the Steve Diamond thing, I don't spend money on props. And he has spent a lot of money on a prop. But, you know, we don't spend money on props because we think we can get them cheap. I think that's brilliant. That's genuine brilliant thinking.
And also, and going back to Sean O'Brien... And that's where you kind of go, if I had 400 grand to spend, am I going to get 22 games out of this asset? As good as he is. That's where you moneyball it a bit.
Yeah. The question, Nathan Hughes, Sean O'Brien, if I was having a World Cup squad, who do I want starting in that World Cup squad? Unquestionably Sean O'Brien. Yeah. I think on his day, he is possibly the best back row in the world, or certainly has been the best back row in the world for a long period of time. Do I want to be having to squeeze out 22, 24, 26 games per season? No, I don't want that worry. I don't want that risk, that gamble.
I'll take Blair Cowan for that, thanks.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I would.
Maybe for two-thirds the price, half the price.
Paddy Jackson, 100% behind that. 600K, I think that's spot on.
Oh, I like the Paddy Jackson signing.
I'd have lots of other tens. Anyone... Yeah,
there's not that many available though.
Yeah, that's it.
Because everyone wants. There's a lot of team want not that many tens.
Mm. Sippers he's got a contract to sign with Gloucester or not?
Yeah, I thought he had signed on. Or no, they were discussing him signing for another year.
Yeah, was it 1+1 or something like that? It was an optional second year.
I'd love to see him stay in the Prem.
It'd be interesting to see because after the World Cup, he's got one more big contract in him.
He might, huge contract.
Yeah, one more huge contract. He might get a couple more after that, but he's got one big one.
Well, there's a couple of teams who are underneath the salary cap, and he was even too expensive for them, and they were willing to spend big, and he was too expensive for them.
France,
yeah,
got to be.
I'd love to see. I think he'd be disaster in France, actually. And the reason is because he runs his attack in such a way that how would he explain it to a bunch of Fijians and French that want to play one way, and he's trying to explain to them exactly how he wants them to play?
Well, more's the point. This is why I think he probably will end up staying with Gloucester, is because they have to keep him, because what do they do otherwise?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've all their eggs in the Sippers basket, haven't they?
They have.
And now
he's been so influential.
Other players have all been signed up, or I don't know where they would go.
Hey, Owen, can we kiss and make up? Or, Owen, can you give all of your money to Danny and leave, please? It's all those two, isn't it?
Billy, you're going to be playing a lot of 10. Billy Tawdry's going to be kicking a lot of sticks.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. God, I hope he stays. I really hope he stays.
Yeah, it'd be good for the Prem.
Did you see the Ulster signing or re-signing this week?
Which one was that? No.
So, speaking of value signings.
Was it the...
Mike Lowry.
Was it the...
No.
Back row, the...
Marcel Coetzee.
See, yeah, he re-signed.
Re-signed until 2022.
Oh, but you're delighted, God.
3-year re-signing.
That's a ballsy move.
It is. It's doubling down on the...
I hope he's not one of those guys. I think it has just been rotten luck, but there are players, we've all played with them, that or have all seen them, that they just get themselves right at just the right moment. Oh, there's a contract due. Oh, right, yep. I'll pump.
Lions tour, mate.
Roll my sleeves up. Tom Croft, Lions tours.
Yeah.
No, they'd have loved to have been fit the whole time, obviously. So hopefully he's put his touch with his injuries behind
with
him.
With his injury, was it one big one or has it been lots of little ones?
I think it's two knee reconstructions.
Oh.
And then other issues associated with those knee reconstructions.
So if it's one big one, I kind of think, yeah, okay, fine. I don't have any problem really with the Billy Vunipola stuff. He's broken his arm. You know, there's no amount of weight and precaution can stop you breaking your arm. So that's fine. I'd re-sign him in a heartbeat. But like the Manu issues, not so much.
Yeah,
it is one to watch.
I'm not sure I would have done that unless it was a significant salary reduction.
Yeah.
Which, given that he is... So this season he's been on real form. I think it's something like top metres made for a forward and top turnovers in the Champions Cup.
I can't wait. So, hang on. Manu's not re-signed for Tigers, has he? I don't believe he has.
Oh, you were thinking of Billy when you were saying...
So, sorry. I'm saying Coetzee in that.
Oh sorry.
So, Coetzee is on real good form right now.
Yeah.
So,
got you.
I personally wouldn't have signed him for such a long... I would have signed him for a 1-year deal on good money. I would not have offered him a 3-year deal on that same level of money.
Just chill out now, feet up.
I wish I'd have known this conversation was going to go in this direction, because if I did, I'd have my dilemma list. Like, who would you sign for how much? So, if Manu Tuilagi plays like he did against Ireland from now until the end of the season, when I think his deal's up, what do you do? Do you give him another 400k?
Maybe more.
Yeah. Do you go, no, because you've only played 8 games? What do you do? What a nightmare.
I think...
Those are real difficult decisions.
What I would try and do is to moneyball it and say, Manu, we're going to pay you less. We're going to offer you less money, but that's because we're going to play you only when we have to, because we want you right for England, and that means you get yourself an extra $250,000, 300k a year.
Okay, bye, Tim. Yeah. Bye, I'm off.
I'm off to Worcester, he'll pay me Ben
Teo's wage. I'm off to Newcastle.
Wage.
Yeah.
Like everyone else.
Guaranteed salary.
Yeah, exactly. Domestic stuff. Do you Champions Cup Premiership Cup this weekend, Tim?
Yeah, I was at Worcester v Saracens. It was a shame Worcester didn't put out a strong team. You can understand why, because Premiership games
saying?
Coming up, but they didn't put out a very good team and got beaten by Saracens.
So, here's a tweet for you. This is from Worcester player Darren Berry.
Darren Barry, the ex-Bristolian, used to play at the Bristol club?
Dings.
Dings Crusaders.
Did he really
play
at Dings?
I think he played Dings Crusaders, mate. That's his local club.
I used to play Dings.
It's his local club.
Well, I played one game at Dings.
You played Dings?
Played one for Dings, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, where Dings used to play. Apparently, it's really nice there now.
Tough boys around there, mate.
Oh. You You lived in Bristol, didn't you? You lived in
I lived in Bath, but worked in Bristol. So I just visited. I didn't like to hang around.
I lived in
Filton. Used to retreat back to the Roman city just to...
Well, I used to live in Filton, right? And seldom was a week gone by where someone didn't get stabbed in the head by a screwdriver. I mean, that isn't an exaggeration. It's far worse than living in Manchester.
What's the name of the school there that's like, it's really good? It's like one of the best rugby schools in the country now.
Colston's?
No, that was back in the day. But no, they're based in Filton. They're the college.
Really?
Something College. And they are like, and I remember because I taught at St. Brendan's and I coached the first team and had Redford, Penny Cook and James Phillips and in the back row. And so we had a really good team, but we played against this college team that was just establishing itself. And I'm pretty sure it's linked to Bristol now, but they're one of the best school sides.
So
in the
actually,
country.
I say,
where are they? It was Filton. It was Filton.
SGS.
No. Where? What's SGS?
SGS Filton College is. I'm trying to.
Is it an amazing?
Trying to help you out. It's a rugby college, South Gloucestershire and Stroud College.
I don't know if that is it. Anyway, but that's like BAE Systems all around there, isn't it?
Well, Rolls Royce. Because my primary love is rugby, but my other love is aviation, and like the beauty of living in Filton was that I could play rugby. Great. In fact, that's the sole reason I moved to Bristol. This is no word of a lie. I moved to Bristol to watch rugby, literally, because I'm from North Wales and we had no rugby. So on my list was De Montfort in Leicester, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Westminster. I don't know why that was on there. Newcastle, but not the real Newcastle, obviously. And Bristol. I went to Bristol purely to watch the rugby. And then they got relegated. But you're right. The other part of it, it's one of the biggest airfields in the world at the time, which is Filton Airfield, and that's where Concorde landed into on its last flight, which I got benched for watching that rather than going to the warm up.
Lovely.
There you go.
I
got to watch the last landing of Concorde. It was amazing. So from my mate's house, you could see the Filton airstrip, and I think a Mark 9 Spitfire out at the same time. It's quite something. It doesn't matter. I don't need to talk about that any longer. what were we talking about?
Premier Rugby Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So Saracens won comfortably.
Yeah, so this is from Darren Barry, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I must admit, I'm pretty disappointed by some of the feedback from today's team announcement. Majority of comments already writing this team off. I'd like to remind those fans that this team is largely the group that won away at France and have got the club to the quarterfinal in Europe. So obviously the Worcester players were also pretty disappointed with the reaction of the fans and what was perceived to be a weaker team.
Yeah, well there was 13 of the guys that played last week in the Premiership Rugby Cup, but it was pretty noticeable the 10 guys that weren't. No Francois Houhard, no Duncan Weir, he was on the bench, no Pennell, Bryce Heem, none of the big guns, Sam Lewis. So it was a shame. Having got to this, Worcester have never been to a domestic semi-final.
Mm. All good, Phil?
All good?
All good.
Oh, okay. Phil just had I thought we were going to get the call then.
No, not the call.
The baby call.
Just the call that it's...
late?
Very, very late.
Where are you?
Where the hell are you?
Yeah.
And in the background, Claire's parents going, it's all right, he's got to do the pod, leave him to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. They know.
So, yes, it was noticeable the players that weren't there. And it's Worcester's first ever domestic semi-final. They have never won any silverware in the modern era. They've got to a final once in the European Challenge Cup. So having got this close for the fans who've been through the mill a little bit, and particularly
with
the change of ownership this year as well, it would have been nice to have gone for it. But you can't begrudge that because this is a massive block of Premiership.
You know,
game.
The weird thing
it's
is,
huge. Yeah.
Worcester did put out a full team in the Premiership Cup in the group stage.
And last week they played virtually all of their stars.
So why?
Pennell, Heem, Houhard.
Yeah, so why then throw it away in the semis? As they throw it away, but
well, they wouldn't because next week is back to Premiership. So they could win the Premiership Cup if they get relegated. It is irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I understand the decision. I think if I were a fan, I would have quite liked to see a better crack, but I would completely understand.
In the other semi-final, Newcastle lost a 28-7 lead and got absolutely pumped in the second half by Northampton. And Dean Richards came out and said our guys weren't fit enough.
They are so going down, aren't they?
It's so such a concerning thing to say at this stage in the season. They've had a little bit of time off. They weren't fit enough.
That's
that was
worrying.
Like alarm bells.
Yeah.
Whew. Right, so we've got some rugby on this weekend.
We do.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, which are on the peripheries of rugby, before we talk about the rugby this weekend?
I'm okay wrapping things up with the fixtures.
Yeah, let's do that. This is a massive block of games, this 4 weeks is huge. Without international players, seeing how those guys can get on.
Yes.
It's a big one.
So,
let's get into it.
Pro 14 first.
Yeah.
Friday night, we've got three fixtures. Ospreys host Ulster. Ulster win.
Fine.
Munster host Southern Kings. Big Munster win.
Without any of their Irish internationals.
Won't matter. Big Munster win. And Edinburgh host Dragons. Edinburgh win.
We've talked about this loads of times, so I don't need to go over it. But these are the weeks where it's particularly tough on the Pro 14 in getting excited about it.
But as a few people have pointed out, you could see the next Sean O'Brien, the next Dan Levy, the next Jack Conan, the next Ian Henderson.
Yeah, you could do.
Peter Omani.
Yes.
Which is a good point.
It is a good point. So what was it? Edinburgh?
Edinburgh Dragons. Home win. On Saturday, we've got Zebre hosting Leinster. If Zebre are going to roll over Leinster, that's the time to do it. We've got JB's beloved Benetton.
Benetton win.
Hosting Scarlets.
Benetton win.
Benetton lose quite a few players, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but they also... did they beat Ulster recently with no players?
No, they drew Ulster. Drew.
They've won one really impressive one. Oh,
was it Leinster last year?
It wasn't Edinburgh, because Edinburgh went and lost to Kings. They've won some impressive games with not their first string.
So Benetton to win that.
Mm-hmm.
Connacht host Cheetahs. Connacht, who don't lose too many players. Ultan Dillan was in the squad this week. Cardiff host Glasgow is the final game.
Don't know.
Cardiff.
Glasgow.
And on to Premiership.
Yes, here we go. Okay.
Friday night.
Right, fire away.
We've got Bristol hosting Wasps. Wasps are clubbing free fall.
Huge.
Yeah.
Bristol don't miss any players.
Where do you think, this thought occurred to me the other day on the tram, where do you think that, what's his name will end up? The Loosehead Prophets left, who is class, but injured.
Where?
Mullen.
Wasps.
Mullen.
He might not. It wouldn't surprise me if
you think he's going to retire?
That's it. I genuinely don't know. It seems like it's so long ago since he was like competing for that second choice England spot.
He's so good when he's fit.
That's the question.
Someone will take a penalty. If he says he can play, someone will pay him money to try.
So Wasps, how many are they going to be missing from the back row? Because Thomas Young will be missing presumably, or will he? Do they players get released back to their club?
Some players will get released back.
Yeah.
So Thomas Young might be one who gets released back.
Yeah.
Nathan Hughes might be one who gets released back. Dan Robson might be one who... Dan Robson's only played...
Oh, yeah, Nathan Hughes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fantasy rugby draft. Awesome. Yeah. Eddie, Nathan needs game time. Big Nathan needs game time.
Launchbury might be...
Campagnaro desperately needs game time. Oh, man. Launchbury, I've forgotten about that. He needs game time. I almost subbed him out thinking I wouldn't need him again. So Wasps could have a decent team going to Bristol.
They're probably not going to... So they'll definitely be losing Elliot Daly. They'll probably be losing Campagnaro. Other than that, Brad Shields might be back needing game time. Nazeem Carr's going to be playing. They might not have a bad team.
Yeah, it might not be a bad team at all. Bristol at home, though.
Bristol win.
Bristol will have been focusing on this game.
Yeah, Bristol win. Definitely. Bristol win.
I think Wasps might surprise you in this.
I think Wasps as well. Bristol, a couple of weeks ago in the Premiership Rugby Cup, put out a really good team and were not convincing.
Mm. Yes, he did, didn't they? They really went out and tried to win it.
And Exeter beat them comfortably. I'm going to say Wasps. But that's a tight
game. I'm with you, yeah.
Is that Friday night?
That's Friday night. And then the other Friday night is a repeat of European Champions Cup. It's Gloucester versus Exeter. So
this is the live game on BT Sport?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tasty, that. Oh, man, that's
at
really...
At King's home, give me Exeter, I think.
Gloucester have beaten Exeter. They've got a good record against them.
They beat them at Sandy Park and then lost at home to them.
Yeah, they did.
Exeter without Slade, without Cowan Dickey, without Noel.
Yep.
Gloucester with...
Everyone.
Everyone, including Sippers.
Yeah. Is there anyone they're missing?
No, not through international.
No one in the Scotland squad?
Nope. God, they've got none. It was looking at the start of the season like they'd be missing Val Rapava Ruskin, but...
Yeah. Ollie Thorley got called into the wider squad, but hasn't had any game time, so he needs game time as well.
Oh, I'm going to go Gloucester.
I'm going Gloucester as well.
Give me Exeter.
I don't
quite know why.
It's a counterculture.
Yeah, contrary. Okay, on to Saturday. We've got a 2 o'clock kickoff, which is Northampton Saints hosting Sale.
Northampton missing bigger.
Doesn't matter.
But not, and Laws.
Sale will win this. At a canter. Oh, Sale missed Strauss. No, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is.
Because they're also missing the big Dupree boy.
Yeah. Obviously. Damn it. I mean, not that it matters.
Damn it.
Josh Beaumont back to eight then.
Yeah, Beaumont can play pretty niftily. I suspect Sale will win this. And AJ's back as well. Give me Sale in the bag.
I think Sale will
win. And Faf's back. Faf's around.
I think Sale will win. Their backline is going to be awesome.
Dynamite.
Oh, Faf, AJ, Van Rensburg, Sam James, Denny, Byron McGuigan, who in my fantasy rugby draft, he tweeted that he's looking to be back playing this weekend.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good.
I think Sale.
I think Sale too.
And no bigger for Northampton.
Yeah, big.
Unless they can recall him.
They can recall him, actually. What are we talking about? He doesn't get rest weeks.
Damn it.
Come on, bigger.
Because you're easy.
He's
your
in mind.
Damn it, and I'm playing Phil this week.
He's
damn it.
Are we playing each other?
Yeah.
He's on a terrible run of form. If he plays anything like he did in Rome, he will not be playing well.
Right, so if Sale are serious about climbing the table, they need to win this. And if they do, they're in a damn good position for top four.
They are. I was looking at the rest of Sale's fixtures, and they have got a good fixture list between now and the end of the season.
I know.
It's a really good fixture list.
I'm aware.
If they can get three wins out of these next four, they play Exeter and I think they play Worcester, Newcastle and Northampton.
Yeah.
Or maybe might be Leicester in there.
I mean, they are... I mean, okay, so they're interesting games. Also, they are games... It might not be that easy, particularly Newcastle away, because they'll be scrapping for their lives.
I don't know if that's in this block of four, actually. That's one of the ones at the end of the season. I think in this block.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But anyway. But regardless, if they can get three wins out of this next block of four, they are well placed.
So, Jay, you're saying Sale?
I am.
Tim?
I think Sale are going to do well in this period.
Give me Northampton.
Interesting. They fancy it, though.
Then Bath host Newcastle, which... Newcastle need something out of this game.
But I don't see him beating Bath at the Rec, though.
No. Can't see it at all.
No.
Oh, my word. Poor old Newcastle. They lose. I mean, actually, they're not done. Because
they're not done.
They play Worcester in 2 weeks. In the third weekend, I think. First weekend in March.
Yeah, they're one win behind Worcester, aren't they?
Worcester, who travelled to Harlequins with a full squad, who have been playing together. Getting that contractual stability apart from the semi-final.
So if things go right for Sale, they could end up in third place.
But Quins are rarely unaffected by internationals. They've got Robshaw, they've got Kerr, they've got Marler.
Robshaw's injured, isn't he?
They've got England's fly-off at the World Cup, Marcus Smith.
Smith, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're probably less affected than they've been for a long time.
Who would have thought by just making Harlequins players slightly less good, they get a lot better as a team? amazing stuff.
So I'm going for a Harlequins home win.
Harlequins home win.
And then Saracens host Leicester.
Saracens host Leicester. Saracens. Are you going to work at any of these games, Tim?
Not this weekend.
Oh, what's the point in even watching? Excellent. I think we've got it all. So by the end of this weekend,
what are you going for? Sarries, Leicester, Phil?
Give me Sarries.
Yeah, I think Sarries.
So sorry, what do you go for Harlequins and Gloucester? Give me Exeter.
Harlequins and Worcester.
Yeah, give me Exeter to beat Gloucester. Actually, I'm going to change that.
Yeah, I like Exeter. Yeah. Even though they're missing more players, and Gloucester will be focused.
Sale Sharks are going to end up fourth by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, they've still got a hell of a squad, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still a great squad.
Oh, so I'll stick with Gloucester.
Yeah, they've got Armand, they've got Ewers, they've got Kvesic, they've got Dave Dennis.
Simmons and Steenson.
Yeah.
Devoto, yeah, you're right.
Dollars. Witten.
Dollars.
Cuthbert. Woodburn's back fit.
He is.
They'll be all right.
They'll be
okay. Hepburn.
Yeah, Hepburn. Harry Williams.
Yeah.
The club captain, Yendel.
Yeah, Yenders.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
They'll be fine.
Right, let's wrap this up. I'm turning my laptop off.
Right. There will be one extra listener by the time this we do the next podcast. I have no...
Let's hope so.
Well.
Your protracted, really drawn out labour, if not.
Well, good luck.
Yes, best of luck, mate. And yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you all soon.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.